Welcome to the Dr. Berg's Healthy Keto and Intermittent Fasting Podcast, where Dr. Berg takes you on the journey for the truth about getting healthy and losing healthy weight.
Let's talk about sleep, okay? If you're having problems sleeping, it's very important to find the underlying cause, because if you treat the symptom, you only get so far. You have to, in fact, keep treating the symptom because you're not getting rid of the cause. It can camouflage the real reason why you can't sleep. So the more you target the real cause, the better the results. There are various reasons why people can't sleep. Number one, they have breathing problems, right? Sleep apnea. There's something about breathing that actually helps you sleep. If you're not breathing, you're not going to be able to sleep. Certain medications, certain drugs can prevent sleep. Too many stimulants like caffeine. Restless leg syndrome can keep you up at night because your body just cannot relax. If you have pain, like in back pain, that can keep you up. If you have stress, which is probably one of the biggest causes of why people can't go to sleep, that could keep you up. Jet lag is another thing that can keep you from sleeping. Now, you can also have a hyperthyroid condition where your engine is constantly going too fast. That can keep you up. Now, if you overtrain when you exercise, you can keep the pulse rate really high. And if you overtrain right before bed, that can definitely keep you up, especially if your recovery is not good. If you're exposed to blue light, okay, as in your cell phones or little laptops or computers right before bed, that can keep you up. Now, eating too late at night, especially if you're grazing and you're snacking on the wrong things and you're stuffed and you try to go to sleep, that can be another reason why you're not sleeping. Now, as we get older, we also lose the sleep hormone called melatonin, as well as serotonin. A lot of hormones don't work quite right. And that can start to cause us to have less sleep. Now, if someone doesn't exercise, okay, and let's say they were an athlete, okay, at one time, and they really train their body, so their mitochondria are plentiful. And now they don't exercise to use up that energy. So they have all this extra energy when they try to go to sleep, and they just can't get into that deep sleep. Why? Because their body is trained for exercise, and they're no longer exercising. If you're deficient in vitamin D, that can throw off your circadian rhythms. So there's many different reasons why someone can't sleep. And the key is finding out what reason you're not sleeping and then correcting that. Now, I'm going to give you the top things you can do to help yourself sleep. But I first want to talk about the sleep remedies that just do not work, that, believe it or not, a lot of people are doing simply because they're treating this symptom. Okay. They're not treating the underlying cause. And this is what happens in medicine, is they don't go deep enough. Everything's superficial. They just treat the symptom and they take another drug will last for 24 hours and then they take another drug, but you really want to get to that root problem. So the first remedy that doesn't work, and a lot of people are doing this, is basically alcohol. They'll drink some alcohol late at night to help them wind down, reduce stress and sleep. But the problem is it might help you feel like you're more relaxed, but the alcohol itself actually causes fragmented sleep. It doesn't allow you to go into the deep delta wave sleep. And this is why when you wake up, you don't feel refreshed. So alcohol can even make you more restless. It really throws off your circadian rhythm. It worsens your ability to breathe and get oxygen late at night. So you're getting less oxygen. And it can even aggravate something like sleep apnea, because it can relax the muscles in the back of the throat. And that can worsen sleep apnea. So as much as it might appear to help someone sleep, that alcohol before bed is not helping you sleep. All right, number two, over-the-counter allergy medication, they're antihistamines. A lot of people take them for sleep because they can help you feel drowsy, but there actually is no data that shows that that drug can improve your sleep in any way, shape, or form. It might make you feel a little drowsy, but it doesn't improve the quality of the sleep. And it has side effects like dry mouth, which doesn't help you sleep, and a whole bunch of other side effects, which I'm not going to get into. All right. And so the next remedy that doesn't work for sleep is something called CBD oil, which is a different chemical than THC. CBD is a chemical in marijuana called cannabidiol. And a lot of people take it for pain control. They might take it for anxiety. But as far as sleep goes, there's no significant benefits. In fact, it can even worsen sleep. And this is why you cannot use a sleep claim for CBD oil. All right, prescription sleep medications. Now, there's a lot of different medications, and these medications were not designed to be used for a long period of time. They're only designed to be used maybe a month, but a lot of people take them chronically for months and months and months. And they wonder why they keep needing more and more of that medication to create the same effect. There are a ton of side effects, from waking up feeling very, very groggy to increasing your risk of having daytime sleepiness and then increasing your risk of getting in accidents. There's been side effects of airway collapse, sleepwalking, and the dependency goes up. So you become more and more dependent on them. And that's not good, especially since over time, they become less effective with more side effects. All right. And the next point I want to bring up is these sleep tracking tools that you would wear to bed. Well, they don't help you sleep. All they do is they identify if you're sleeping or not, but they don't tell you what's causing the sleep problem. So that's not a solution. What about taking melatonin? Now, melatonin is a hormone that's made by the pineal gland. And the problem with taking melatonin is that there's a percentage of people that have a side effect of getting insomnia. So the very reason you're trying to take it to sleep might keep you up at night. And the problem is over time, you need more and more of this dosage. And also you're causing your own pineal gland to not have to work. What you have to realize is that melatonin can be gotten another way. And I should just say this, melatonin tends to go down when your cortisol goes up. So the more stress you have, the less melatonin you're going to have. So it's not always about increasing melatonin. It's about decreasing cortisol or stress, which I'm going to give you some tips on. But if you want to increase your melatonin, there's a much better way. Typically, melatonin is called a darkness hormone because it's increased when it gets dark out. Okay. So if you're by your bed and you have on your cell phone, like an hour before bed, and you're looking into this blue light or on some computer, the blue light will definitely inhibit melatonin, okay? But if you wanted to increase your melatonin, you can also do it with being exposed to the sun. A certain part of the sun's waves are called infrared, okay? And infrared, which is different than the ultraviolet, can help you recharge your melatonin. And so being outside, being exposed to the sun, looking at the sun rise or the sunset, or even sitting in front of a fireplace will give you this infrared type light that will recharge your melatonin. You can even get infrared from a candle or an incandescent light. But the point is that infrared can recharge melatonin. And so that's a very, very safe way of increasing melatonin. But taking melatonin tends to cause your own body's production to go way, way down. And now you're dependent on that. And many, many, many people, when they take melatonin, feel groggy when they wake up. It doesn't give you a really refreshed feeling. So it's best to get your melatonin naturally. All right, the next point I want to bring up about sleep is if you have sleep apnea, okay, you can't breathe. That usually comes from insulin resistance, okay? You need to get on keto and do intermittent fasting, and that is going to help you because the insulin resistance problem, which then increases your insulin, causes the back part of your sinuses and your throat to thicken, and that's going to obstruct air. And so many people, when they get on keto and do intermittent fasting, they can now breathe better. They don't need that machine that puts air into you. The other key thing to do for sleep apnea is to take more vitamin D3, and you want to take it right before bed. In fact, vitamin D3 greatly helps put your circadian rhythms back into rhythm. So if you had jet lag or some problem with your sleep, taking about 10,000 IUs of vitamin D3 right before bed is a very wise thing, and you're going to actually go to sleep and wake up feeling more rejuvenated. Now, I like to sometimes take that with either B1 and nutritional yeast right before bed, because if you're in stress mode and you're excessively thinking all the time, and you want to turn that off, just take some B1 from nutritional yeast. It works like a charm. And I already mentioned when you overtrain, you do too much exercise late at night and you have low recovery, you're going to go to bed with your pulse rate just way too high. And try to sleep if your pulse rate is high. It won't work. So that's just another factor to look at. And by the way, if you ever want to bring your pulse rate down, you can take some potassium, okay? And that'll bring it right down. Now, if you're low on potassium because you just ate a big carbohydrate meal, you may even feel your pulse rate, even hear your pulse rate on the pillow, like boom, 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 pounding at an accelerated rate. What you should do is just quickly take some potassium and things will calm down. So potassium keeps your pulse rate down, and so does not overtraining. All right, now let's say you experience stress. So the best way to compensate for overstress would be to do physical work as compared to exercise outside. That's the best thing you can do. Maybe 1 or 2 hours, you should sleep like a baby. There's some other things you can do too. One is to control your breathing, okay? If you start to slow down your breath, I'm not talking about slowing it down too much. I'm just talking about breathing out at a steady rate and then breathing in at a steady rate. Let's say 4 seconds. So if you were to breathe out for 4 second count and breathe in for a 4 second count, and you balance the inhalation with the exhalation, you're going to drift off into a wonderful sleep. So sometimes if I'm trying to sleep and I can't sleep, I will focus on my breath. Breathe in slowly. Breathe out slowly. Okay. Just focus on your breath, because that will indirectly affect the something called the autonomic nervous system, and it can pull you out of this flight or fight mode, which is called your sympathetic nervous system. I mean, if you ever think about it, when you're stressed, your breathing is off. And so, whether you're in a panic attack or you have anxiety or you're worrying, if you just slowed down your breath or controlled your breathing, breathe in and out slowly, it can just pull you out of that stress mode very, very nicely and help you sleep. So some key points are: get your breathing regulated, physical work or exercise each day. Go for long walks in nature, really good. Avoid the blue light before bed. Okay, this stuff right here, computer work. Use an incandescent light. It's certain lights that you can get versus some of the fluorescent lights, and maybe even get a red light to give you infrared, or sit in front of your fireplace, or sit in front of a campfire, or be out in the sun. So you can generate more melatonin, which is going to be very, very helpful when you try to sleep at night.